And that's what, you know, we hope this podcast will be able to do, is continue to inspire storytellers to tell their stories inside and outside of Hollywood, right? We firmly have one foot in and one foot out. But I also think, to Drea's point, take the sheen off. Ciao, we did it.
Woop, woop. Woof,
woof. We are here with a whole podcast.
A whole
podcast. Not half a podcast. A whole podcast.
That's right. I'm honey.
Welcome to the Creative Cut Up Podcast, a lively and honest space for storytellers that sits at the intersection of craft, business, and independence. I'm Felicia Pride, a writer, director, producer, head honey and honey child, and head storyteller of the Create Daily, a platform I founded in 2012 to help storytellers, especially those of us who are historically excluded, thrive creatively and professionally. And I'm here with my co-host because we got some cutting up to do.
That part.
We sure do. I'm Drea Donna Rowland, the creative executive at Honey Child and a writer and producer.
Yes, she is.
And I'm Georgette Pierre, a voice actor and producer. You can hear it, right?
Oh, we hear that voice, honey. Oh, we hear the voice. Oh, yeah. So join us weekly where we talk shop and smack and share the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Listen.
And from three different perspectives, which I love, providing tangible tips to support your creative practice, your career, and your artist self. Because we all know that being an artist is hard as hell.
Oof. Say that.
But the Creative Cut Up is here to help. Shall we begin, ladies?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. This is kind of like a dream come true. This is the podcast for the Create Daily, our first episode.
Woo!
This is amazing.
Been a long time coming.
A long time. It only took us, 12 years? You know what I mean? Since we started in 2012 to have a podcast. But super, super excited. Want to shout out Georgette, who is serving double duty as our producer. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Thank you.
And I love that it's three Black women talking about craft and the biz and being artists. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, same.
Drea, you were just at the Emmys for a second time. That's amazing. I want to hear about the vibe at the Emmys. Like, tell us about your experience.
So the Emmys is surreal, right? So this is something that I grew up watching on TV, and then to be in the audience and seeing the television magic and how it all comes together was just incredible. So this was my second year going. My day job is I'm in development at Comedy Central. And one of the shows I work on is The Daily Show. So The Daily Show was nominated for an Emmy.
Yes, honey.
So it was nice just to go. And then it was nice to be working on a project that was nominated. And then guess what? We won. So
congratulations.
I saw that. Congrats.
Thank you.
How did that feel?
Oh, man, I jumped up on my feet. I was in the crowd just screaming. Everybody was saying this. A lot of people are like in the hallway. So if you ever saw them like cut and you were like, oh, the audience looks kind of empty. That's because people be in the hallway. That's where it's going down at.
Is that where the bar is?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
That's where the bar is.
Yes, they are looking great, chit-chatting and drinking champagne. So when they cut to The Daily Show, you know, everybody's going up on stage. But I'm in the crowd just screaming my head off. I was so excited because, you know, this is the first time The Daily Show has won since Jon Stewart left.
Wow.
Yeah. And crazy enough, Trevor Noah was the first Black person to win, you know, Outstanding Talk Series, host for Outstanding Talk Series. I really enjoyed it. And then there's an after party that, so, you know, most of the time the studios throw their own parties and celebrities go there. But this time they kind of came and played with the regular people and went to their own parties.
I think this is such a great segue into today's topic, which is things we wish we knew before we got into Hollywood. Let's do three things we wish we knew before breaking into Hollywood. So why don't we do it, you know, one each, and we'll go round robin that way. Woo, child. I have a list that's like 100 things I wish I would have known, but I'm just going to give three today so that we're not on this podcast for 5 hours. My first one is, you know, early on, my first big experience with Hollywood was selling my first feature. And that experience, I really learned the importance of self-care, having self-care tools to get you through this business, because that was a very, eye-opening situation. It was a very tough situation for many, many reasons. It was a beautiful situation for many, many reasons, but also a very tough situation that I did not expect. And I think the industry as a whole, you know, it's very antiquated. They have rules that you unwritten rules you don't know about. It's toxic. It's sexist. It's racist. It's homophobic. It's all these things. There's a lot of anxiety, narcissism. And I just did not know that one place could have all the things happening at once. Yeah. I was very shocked. Right. That I'm like, oh shit. Like folks really be showing their asses.
Yeah, I would say actually that's my number one thing too. Is like we really romanticize Hollywood and breaking in. And then you get here and look around and you're like, is this really what I want? This doesn't quite feel as good as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. Or
talk about,
you know, these people look miserable. Like, do I want to be one of them? So, you know, we really romanticize Hollywood and, you know, we got to take some of the sheen off of it, I would say. Cause when you get here, the fight continues, or the fight really is just step one. You know, after you break in, the fight starts all over.
I love how you said take the sheen off of it, right? I feel like Afro sheen is like the first thing I thought about. I'm like, yes. Oh gosh, it's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Well, how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile this isn't what I thought it was going to be? Because I'm still reconciling that. How do y'all reconcile that?
I'm definitely reconciling it, because the first thing I thought about in relation to what you all were sharing was this idea of also people wanting to keep you in your place and not understanding, right? Like you're here to want to do the same thing that they're doing or expand upon the things that they're doing. And it's just like, they're like, oh, wait, you're doing too much. Wait, what? Why? Who told you got that voice? Why do you think you can do more than what we see or want you to do? And so the reconciliation, and I think sometimes Felicia, you and I have had offline conversations about this. The one thing I'm reconciling is, what will my relationship, or what does my relationship with Hollywood need to look like now with the reckoning happening, right? Yes. Whatever that means to other people. And I am still trying to figure that out. Me and one of my girlfriends, we were talking, we were like, we need to figure out how to still do what we want to do outside of the Hollywood umbrella, and still not fully there yet on what that looks like.
And that's what, you know, we hope this podcast will be able to do, is continue to inspire storytellers to tell their stories inside and outside of Hollywood, right? We firmly Absolutely. Have one foot in and one foot out. But I also think, to Drea's point, take the sheen off. This business can be very, very painful. And to your point, Georgetta, about the keeping you in your place, I think that goes into another one that was not on my list, but here we go, already going past three, is the gatekeeping.
Yeah.
The gatekeeping is wild. Ooh. The gatekeeping and the middle people, there are a lot of middlemen, middle people in your way.
Yeah.
Disconnecting you from the people, right? There's middle people disconnecting you from the people. There's middle people disconnecting you from buyers. And then it's just the gatekeeping that is, when you realize it's essentially like 10 white folks making decisions about what all of America is going to watch. It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Right. And the fact that they are a certain type of person living all in LA, living in a bubble, making these decisions, you're like, whoa, that's deep. Right. That's deep. And then you have to separate your talent and how you feel about yourself away from these decisions that are being made about the work that you are submitting or pitching to the business, and realizing that a lot of these decisions have nothing to do with you or your talent.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. It's easy, you know, when you get rejected to take it personally, or because your art is an extension of you, is you being vulnerable. So if that vulnerability is being rejected, you know, you can start to internalize it. But I think that's a great point that you made. Like me being on the buyer side, the network side, whatever. Yeah, the people who sit at the table do not look like me. And they sometimes really don't grasp the value of our stories. And we can have the same numbers, the same stats, the same data as another comedian. But they're like, oh, that one resonates with our audience. This one doesn't. It's only one difference, you feel me? So that is hard. That's hard to accept sometimes. Like, it's to see how antiquated it is and all the gatekeeping and the things that you can have a wonderful product and somebody will just say, oh, it doesn't match our, you know, our mandate this year. Oh, you know what I mean? Just discard it. And you're like, well, where do I take it now? You know, so that is the gatekeeping. Even though I'm on that side and I guess want to be a gatekeeper, I think I'm reconciling that within myself too. Like, how do I be a person who, you know, if I work for a network, there's a standard that I have to uphold, but you don't have to gatekeep at the same time. You know,
yeah,
I think there's a balance.
We kind of heard one of yours, Georgette, which is keeping people in their place. Drea, throw one out for us.
Yes, a mentor told me this recently, and I thought it was a goal. She said, it's not just about who you know. It's also about who likes you.
Ooh.
So much of this town is built on likability. Who likes you? Who says your name in the room? And so it's not just who you know. You could have anybody on your Rolodex, but are they going to say your name when you're not there? Do they like you?
Wow.
That's so interesting you say that, because I was just on my weekly hike with my homegirl, who's also a TV writer. And it's our way of, you know, venting and talking shit about the business, but also encouraging each other. And we were talking about, you know, this idea of burning bridges as a fear tactic, right? Because, and burning bridges is relative, right? Just the idea that you might pull out from a project because you realize it's not right for you, or you don't go after a project because it's not right for you. And then some repercussions that might happen, that and being scared of choosing what's best for yourself because of this idea of you don't want to burn bridges. You want to make sure, to your point, you're likable and people think about you. How is that used, right, to keep us in fear in this business, for sure?
That's part of the game, right? Like, people liking you, part of the, like, you know, giving you business. But for you all, having been on that side, I'm curious on, especially with you, Felicia, selling things, writing things to this product. How do you reconcile still having to own your sovereignty, for better or worse, in places where people are like, because she told me no, I don't know if I want to work with her. But, you know, you're holding the line. You're holding your boundaries.
Well, the thing is, you can't control if people like you or not.
Yeah,
that's the gag, right? Like, even if you're full of integrity, that's what I try to be. That's what I try to go for. It's like making sure that I'm remaining within my integrity. But even if I'm doing that, motherfuckers may still not like me. I can't control that. And it's people who smile in your face and behind closed doors don't like you and are not submitting you. So I can't control any of that. That's the thing that I have to remind myself, is I can't control my likability, right? The one thing that I can do is build genuine relationships with people in this town, but also more importantly, with the people that I make for, right? I can stay within my integrity and I can show up and do great work. Those are the only things I can control. Everything else is out of my control, and it would drive myself nutty trying to bend myself and make decisions based on likability, because you can't guarantee that in the first place.
Absolutely.
You're right. Mm. So many things are beyond our control in this business. And that is the frustrating part about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can do all the right things. You could go to the right schools. You could go to all the networking events. Some things is just outside of your control. But I think that's a big thing for people to learn too, because they get so much frustration. They get discouraged easily. Things you can't worry about. You can't worry about. Like you said, you will drive yourself crazy. You'll be miserable.
Yes. Georgette, give us another one.
Yeah, you know, as a transitioning storyteller.
What does that mean to you, transitioning
storyteller? Yeah, I mean, you may have started in one side of the business. And so I thought I was going to be this radio personality. I was going to come to New York and be all these things.
Well, look at you now on the Create Daily podcast, honey.
I know.
Living your dream. This was your dream.
I guess it feels more freeing anyways. And then when I started working, I started at VH1 back in 2012, funny enough. I was like, oh, there's something about visual storytelling that gives you more freedom in the stories you want to tell than just audible or audio storytelling. And the one thing that was hard for me, and I saw this example with this woman, was people aren't able to see you past the position that you're working in. And so even if you are transitioning, you're taking a pit stop in a junior level position, you could tell people, you could shout it till your face turns blue, red, pink in the face. If you are a production coordinator, a production manager, but you want to be a writer, in their mind, you are not that, because you are still working in this position. And sometimes with people with capitalism, right, you're staying in these positions because you need the money to come in, but you have to be brave enough to leave the position in order to be taken seriously in the position or whatever thing that you're pursuing. And that was tough. And I'm still navigating that, because again, no, everyone's like, yeah, Georgia, you're great. We'll give you these and that, and we'll give you more responsibilities. And then the reality kicks in, like, no, y'all not. Because y'all not able to see me beyond the title that you're paying me for, even though you knew you hired me overqualified. And I signed up for it thinking that I was like, oh yeah, more opportunities will come. Maybe they'll see me. People aren't able to see you past what they can see for themselves. So
it's so interesting you say that, because I think that's across the board, right? Like, It's hard for folks to see. It's getting more easier, but like, or easier. If you were a drama writer, it was hard for people to see you as a comedy writer. If you black, it's hard for them to see you writing about something that ain't black. There's a limited imagination in this business for sure, which is wild because that is the nature of our business or the nature of our work is to be able to have imagination and to see beyond. So it's very conflicting in that way. And I have to tell you, when I transitioned to the business, I had to completely publicly, you know, position myself as writer. I had to, you know, I tell people I'm a proponent of taking the job outside of the business so that you can really position yourself for the job you want in the business, right? Change the narrative around who you are and what you do. And I realized that people kept seeing me as an exec, a distribution exec. And I was like, oh, I have to completely kind of change this around. If I keep going down this trajectory, people are only going to see me as that.
We talk a lot about getting your foot in the door, and you think once you get in, you'll be able to jig and finesse and get over to where you want to get. And sometimes you can. Sometimes that works for people. They get into the company, they make those relationships. But sometimes, Georgette, is exactly what you said. Like, you have to leave to find those opportunities that you really want. And then you kind of have to your point, Felicia, brand yourself a certain way. So maybe when you're on social media, you talk about the writing more than the executive things if you want to be seen, you know, in that path, because people, yes, they have a hard time seeing you outside of what they've already always known you for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're probably going to have to do a whole episode on transitioning because all of us transitioned into this business from someplace else. Drea, give us another one. I don't even know how many we up to, but give us
another
one.
We're up three,
one.
I think. I would say the third thing I wish I knew before I started this business is just the importance of staying centered, like finding your true north, because you can kind of drive yourself crazy trying to like, what does the market want? And how do I get this person to notice me or whatever the case? You could find yourself getting lost in the sauce in Hollywood real easily if you don't know like your true north, why you're doing it, what you have to say, and then find people who affirm you in that, people who are also like not drinking the Kool-Aid, people who are grounded and centered to keep you 10 toes down. That's been important.
I'm so glad you said that because that is what has kept me sane in this business is one, knowing that my purpose is bigger than this business, right? I'm going to be walking in this purpose and I have been walking in this purpose with or without Hollywood, right? Which is, you know, to tell the story of Black people, especially Black women, and to get those stories to the people. That's like the quick and dirty of it. And I do not need Hollywood in order to do that. So that has definitely kept me sane. And I have seen when people do not have a North Star, I see it in the work. The work isn't working, for lack of a better word. Their career is either stalled or it's hard to connect the dots. So I've definitely seen what a lack of a North Star can do. Or like you're saying, you just feeling torn between things. And I have a sort of resolute attitude of like, why I have this talent. Now it's tested for sure, which we can talk about on another episode. Like when I was like, I'm going to throw in a towel last week. That resolute feeling is definitely tested, but it's there and I'm clear on it for sure. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great point.
I would say to wrap this up for me would be really coming to terms with not having had it figured out and having to possibly start over in a different way because Hollywood isn't really a traditional path to getting to what you want. But also coming to terms with like, Georgia, you know certain things, but like, this is new territory for you. And finding my entry point and being okay with figuring it out, because that was tough for me as well, right? Like, I'm in this creative path. You know, I have parents that are immigrant parents. And so in their mind, like, you're a doctor, you're something that you can see the trajectory of. And I'm over here still trying to figure the shit out, right? Like, they haven't seen the fruits of my labor yet. But it's also just being okay with the journey being unknown as I am building the blocks, you know, or building the airplane while I'm flying it.
And there's that pressure, right? To like have it figured out. We're supposed to have it figured out when we choose our major in college, which is wild to me that they're like 18-year-old, choose what you want to do for the rest of your life. But we're supposed to, by a certain age, have it figure out, by a certain age, you know, not look to do something different. By a certain age, be like, you know, I don't want to do this no more. I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are not encouraged. So when you are transitioning or you are wanting to do something else, there's just so much pressure to have a timetable on it. And I think that it's so funny because Hollywood is such a hurry up and wait place where you feel this urgency only for what? Like, okay, I hurried up and for what. So I think us being able to find our own speed and our own timetable, and maybe that means no timetable at all, I think can really help to alleviate some of that pressure for sure.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I do ask God, though. I'm like, why I didn't just want to be a lawyer? Why did I want to be a teacher or something, you know? Why you didn't give me that dream?
Right. Why didn't you birth something else in me?
You know, sometimes I ask them because I would like to be a little bit more stable by now. So, okay. You know, that's something that I feel you, Drea. Reconcile.
Well, that's one of my things that I think we don't talk about enough is that this business is very freelance. This is, Hollywood is a very freelance industry. You are piecemealing it. Even if you're a TV writer, you're essentially, you know, going from room to room, unless you land on a show that, and these days having a show that lasts more than two seasons is very rare. So you're going from room to room. Even if you're a feature writer, it's all about the sale. So it's very, very freelance and feast or famine. And if you're not built for that, if you're not used to that, it's really, really tough. Because part of that is being an entrepreneur, right? Part of that is being able to identify opportunities and go after that. Part of it is also, you know, managing your finances in a way that is more entrepreneurial, managing cash flow, all these things that nobody told us. Like, I just wanted to write about superheroes, you know? No one told us that that's what this industry can be for a lot of people. Yeah. If you even think about production crews, you know, it's daily, but it's getting on that next show. And that takes a toll, always having to find your next gig. It's tiring. It's exhausting while you're also trying to produce your best work.
Yeah.
Right. And then you don't know when the gig you're on can end at any moment. So you might have signed a 3-month contract and then they're like, oh, we're not going to make it. And, or, you know, and then that's you out of a job 3 months sooner than you thought you was going to be. So now you got to hurry up and catch up.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, layoffs.
The corporations aren't doing well business-wise and they're now having to come to reconcile that. And that's usually with layoffs. And so, you know, damned if you do, damned
if
you
layoffs
don't.
Are wild right now.
Yeah.
And then also you may have to go on strike in order to prove that you need the money to survive. So all of these things make it very difficult. And I wish I knew a little bit more of that. I mean, I came from a freelance world, but I'm like, damn, this is, I didn't want to like continue it in this way. So that was a huge thing that I learned.
So what are some insights that we can leave people? Like, I know we talked about the three things we learned, but like, what are some things that you all are stepping into now?
I think for me, you kind of hit on it. I really am in a place where I am want to be more in control of my relationship with Hollywood. I think sometimes we let Hollywood dictate the relationship to us. So I want to be more in control of my relationship and really make sure that it works for me and not the other way around. I want to continue to be grounded by my North Star and know again that I can walk in my purpose without a business attached to it in that way. But then I also want to continue to be savvy about, because I love making stuff and Hollywood is an industry that doesn't make a lot of stuff. It feels like it, but when you look at the volume of material that comes in versus how much is actually made, this ain't an industry that actually really makes stuff. It's an industry that also is very much encouraged to say no. You know, execs are not encouraged to say yes, they're encouraged to say no. So I want to find ways to say yes to myself and to my work and to being able to collaborate with wonderful creatives and be able to make stuff, continue to make stuff. So those are my insights, I would say. But again, having some self-care practice. Mine is meditation and hiking and yoga and therapy and, you know, hanging out with friends and talking shit and all these things. The self-care practice is important. I think not romanticizing the industry, as Drea talked about, is really, really important. And knowing your why. Why do you have this talent? Why do you have this gift? And really kind of honing in on that.
I would say for me, some of the biggest insights is trusting my instincts and just developing my confidence. So I've been in development for about 2 years now at Comedy Central and at Honey Child. And so I'm still very much learning. I'm still very new to the business, but I'm having so many experiences that affirm that I'm on the right track, that I know what I'm doing, that my instincts are right. And so just trusting that and walking in that confidence, because I think a lot of times the confidence is what makes the difference. It's just how you walk into the room. You know, so leading with that. And then thinking strategically, like now that I'm here, really, I really want to do a great job at it. I want to, you know what I mean? I want to really excel and be proud of the work that I put out in the world. So thinking strategically, like Felicia said, about how can we make things at Honey Child? And how can we reach our audiences? And because what we want to say to them, I think is so important. And I think I really believe that when Honey's hear the stories we're going to tell, like they're going to be affirmed and nourished. And so like, I'm really excited about figuring out
how to make that happen.
I'll end it off with two things. One, aligning yourself with people that actually want to see you win. And so when Drea was talking about her being in development, mm-hmm. the fact that I get to work under Drea and learn the things that people just don't give you easy access to learn, and just being able to help build and expand with the Create Daily, with Felicia's Honey Child, like all these things. It's when you're aligning with people that want to see you win, like they're not afraid of giving you more and allowing you to see more. Mm-hmm. They're not threatened, right? No, those group of people don't feel threatened. And then holding on a little bit longer, right? Like as much as you may think that you haven't seen the fruits of your label sprout yet, it's like, no. You got to hold on just a little bit longer, right? Because mm-hmm. then you're going to start to see feel the things. And so I know people that have seen me on this journey and things have changed along the way, but there's like this default setting that won't allow me to quit as much as I thought about it. But it's just like, no, we holding on.
Won't stop.
Okay.
I love that.
But we're holding on. So let's go.
I love that.
And that's also the exciting part. Your luck can change at any moment. Like your break can come at any moment. So like holding on just a little bit longer. Like when you want to throw in the towel, just make it to tomorrow. Keep going.
Okay. I think about Tyrese's towel. Throwing the towel.
But I will say if you need to throw in the towel to protect yourself, know that there are other opportunities that are for you. You know what I mean? And that holding on means holding on to that North Star for sure, and not feeling like you need to hold on to this job that is killing you slowly. Yeah. Killing you slowly. So we have this segment, How We Create, where we share forms of inspiration, because again, the Create Daily podcast, we really want to talk about not just the business, but also how can we continue to feed our craft and our artistic selves, right? So what is one thing that has stopped you in your tracks or made you laugh or had you shouting that you want to share today?
I didn't think I'd be into audiobooks until Spotify threw on all these audiobooks for availability. And I got into Rick Rubin's The Creative Way, An Act of Being. Oh, and someone had been telling me about this book. And I was like, I'm going to buy it. And I was like, oh, it's an audiobook. Let me listen. And I literally, and like, you see this white man with his long beard walking around barefoot at his house, right? Like, but that's what you think when you think Rick Rubin. But like, when you listen to him, like, you feel that. But the things that he's saying, I started resonating with in a very real way, because meditation is also part of my self-care practice. There's this meditative energy in listening to what he's saying. And it feels universal beyond like the recording artist, but it's the artist, right? Like, whatever that means for you. And so that's definitely been booping me.
You know what? Somebody literally told me to read that book. So I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad that you said there's an audio version so I don't have to read. So I would say something I saw that really inspired me recently was American Fiction. So my first viewing, I enjoyed it. Afterward, I read like some of the feedback, the critiques. I understand, you know, the critical analysis. But when I watched it, for me, you know, I was expecting this big farce, this, you know, satire. And it was a family story, and I love family dramas. And so it was much more complex and intricate than it was sold as. And that really excited me. I love the performances. Sterling K. Brown can do no wrong. Jeffrey Wright is inimitable. Jeffrey. Like you know, he does what he's going to do every time. So, and Erica Alexander, was great to see her in, you know, a role like that. So for me, I really enjoyed American Fiction. I was like, dang, why couldn't I write something like that? So I left inspired to write. And I think that's
why. What you mean, why you can't? Like, it's too late. What you mean? It ain't too late.
You right. So it left me inspired to go and write and make my own thing. Yeah. So that's going to inspire people. So yeah.
There you go. I love that. Well, I want to shout out the Little Brother documentary, May the Lord Watch, on YouTube. Y'all know that Fonte of Little Brother is my brother. I had the pleasure of serving as a co-producer on this documentary. But as a fan of Little Brother, I've been a fan for 20 years now, to see these artists, these Black men, tell a story in their own way, the way that they want to, about their journey, the good, the not so good, the painful, and be very open and honest about that. And then be like, you know what? We're going to release it on YouTube so the people can see it and get write-ups in Rolling Stone and the Washington Post and have hundreds of thousands of views and use this as a way to continue our journey. We're 20 years in and we see this as the start of the next 20 years has been so inspiring to me as an artist. So I encourage everyone to watch the documentary, May the Lord Watch, on YouTube. It is fantastic. It is inspiring. It is the type of art and relationship with audience that I really, really dig. And I really, really want to continue in my own work.
Congratulations on working on that awesome project.
It was a
project.
Dope documentary. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was great.
I'm super excited. But this concludes our first episode, which will be a weekly podcast. So make sure you check us out every week. And we are super excited to be coming at you and talking about all things craft, business, and independence for storytellers.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Cut Up Podcast, a lively and honest space for storytellers that sits at the intersection of craft, business, and independence. Listen to us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you dig it, subscribe, rate, review, and please tell a friend. If you need help getting back into your creative practice, check out the Creative Comeback Workbook and Journal. You can also join our newsletter and our We Create Daily community, both of which provide even more resources and opportunities to thrive creatively at thecreatedaily.com. And lastly, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at The Create Daily.